Drought is threatening a vital waterway in Europe's biggest economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Ongoing drought conditions will cause water levels on the Rhine River to fall further, increasing the threat to traffic on the waterway. That's the warning this morning from Germany's Transport Ministry. Large barges are already carrying less than half their usual cargoes to avoid getting stuck in the river. What's more, freight costs are now five times higher, and economists warn disruption to trade on the vital passageway could shave up to half a percentage point off Germany's economic output. Judith Toth is manager of maritime logistics company Riverlake Barging Rotterdam. She explains how her clients, who carry a number of raw and finished products down the Rhine, are affected by the drought.
To put it in perspective, these barges that can take about 2,500 tons fully loaded can now take about 400 tons, around 16% of their capacity. Many customers decided to keep their fleet either on the lower parts of the Rhine, to the north from the bottleneck Kaub, or on the upper parts of the Rhine, which means to the south from the bottleneck Kaub. Barges are trying to avoid crossing this bottleneck, which now tomorrow might drop below 40 centimeters. In 2018, the lowest was 25 centimeters. A lot of the owners decided that they will not send across their barges, which means that the flow between the ERA and the upper parts of the Rhine has virtually stopped.
And what does that mean for business? I mean, how long can you sustain and your clients sustain not sending goods where they need to go?
There are some alternatives that they try to utilize. So, for example, the trains in Germany. Transportation has problems now in Germany due to maintenances, lack of personnel, and so on. So that at the moment is not really an option. A truck can take about 30 cubes of product, so that is really not that much as a barge could take. To be honest, if the customers are very reliant on the Rhine, they don't have too many other options at this point.
And we talk about this in the broader context of the global economy, which is seeing a slowdown because of Russia's war in Ukraine. And also, energy security is a huge concern as winter approaches. The ability to transport mineral oils, like many of your clients do, and other supplies is crucial to this equation. What are your clients telling you about that? Are they concerned?
They are. What the clients tried to do, they tried to fill up their terminals as much as possible. To substitute the Russian gas, some of the companies tried to secure barges to transport then gas oil, which at the moment is not possible. So I'm really curious to see if this situation would last months, as some of the people expect, then what alternatives they were looking for.
Are there any alternatives? How are your clients planning for this?
That is very difficult to plan for. After 2018, there were some initiatives to build special barges that can sail longer on the Rhine at a very low water level. Not all of them were built because that has been just 4 years ago. So I don't think that the industry is fully prepared for a similar situation that was in 2018. There are some forecasts of some rain and some water level increase from beginning of next week. I think we need to wait and see if the rain is going to indeed fall in the Alps.
Judith Toth, the manager of Riverlake Barging Rotterdam. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are again searching for direction in today's session after July inflation data in the U.S. came in weaker than expected. Global oil prices are trading below $100 a barrel this morning. The International Energy Agency said today it expects demand to surpass pre-pandemic levels next year as oil is increasingly used in power generation. To South Korea now, where authorities in the capital, Seoul, announced today they'll begin phasing out semi-basement apartments. The decision comes days after record-breaking heavy rains caused catastrophic flooding in the city, which killed at least 19 people. The BBC's Will Leonardo has more on the government's decision.
Semi-basement apartments known as bungee-ha are commonly rented out to those on low incomes in Seoul. One featured heavily in the Oscar-winning film Parasite, which highlighted wealth disparities in South Korea. Earlier this week, three family members drowned, trapped inside the Banjiha during some of the country's heaviest rainfall on record. The president, Yoon Sun-yeol, visited the location of the tragedy. Afterwards, he apologised and called for better housing safety. Seoul officials now say they will no longer give permits to construct such homes and will gradually convert existing ones. But it's a big task. It's thought there are around 200,000 basement or semi-basement apartments in the city.
That's the BBC's Will Leonardo reporting there. Several cities across China have today imposed fresh COVID-19 mitigation measures. The city of Yiwu, a manufacturing hub in the eastern part of the country, is entering 3 days of what it calls silent management, essentially a lockdown banning residents from leaving their homes. These kinds of restrictions aren't just threatening the world's second biggest economy. They're having an impact on supply chains around the world, as the BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains.
For Singapore furniture brand Castlery, the pandemic was a period of immense success. Despite lockdowns and closed borders, it continued to deliver to customers in large volumes, seeing revenue growth 6 times higher than pre-pandemic levels. It had stocked up on inventory going into the pandemic, but the threat of more lockdowns in Shanghai is a concern. So, are leaders in the region seeking other market options for their goods and manufacturing? Here is Castlery's co-founder and president, Declan Yee.
We tried to set up facilities in Vietnam and tie up with certain suppliers, but we just realized the reliability, the quality, the QC of certain lines and certain collections and certain types of furniture, they just don't have that depth of experience and expertise yet in Vietnam.
It's scale two. China's known as the factory of the world because it makes everything and plenty of it. Castlery has extensive operations in Australia and is expanding into 50 cities in the United States. But China is the only manufacturing hub in Asia that can produce the volume it needs. The April and May lockdowns in Shanghai also disrupted overseas trade and rattled financial markets. ESCO is a manufacturer and service provider of lab and biopharma equipment and medical devices. It has a business presence in more than 130 countries. Operations in China have been disrupted intermittently, and it's also experienced a delay in material deliveries.
Yeah, I think the world have changed completely since COVID, right? There's more onshoring, right?
That's XQ Lin, founder, chairman, and chief executive at ESCO.
The continued geopolitical conflict between the United States and China, inflation, right? So, we live in very interesting and challenging times. Yeah, but there are always opportunities.
In a recent note, Nomura analysts warned that because China is the largest manufacturing center in the world, any new waves of Omicron are likely to have an impact. The opportunities might be there for the world's manufacturers, but they won't be entirely straightforward. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Saranjana Tiwari for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.